And you tuned in just in time for a bit of community armchair. Will joins us. As always, morning, Will. How are you?
I'm going good, Danny. How was your weekend?
I spent a lot of my time watching the cricket. How about you?
I took a look as well. I mean, right now, I saw an interview the previous night with, I'm not sure which England player it was, but they said they were going up to Noosa Heads to try and get their heads sorted. But
yeah, and they're taking it very seriously.
And my good mate Matt, shout out, said to me in a DM, he said, if they think a trip up to Noosa Heads is going to sort everything out, they've got problems.
They do have problems. They've got problems far beyond anything that we can encapsulate. It was a big weekend of cricket. There wasn't just sort of the men's cricket going off. Had some great stuff there happening in the women's BBL as well, which is getting to the fiery part of it. The Sixers down the Strikers in a final ball thriller. And I had no idea it was going to work out like this, because I'd started watching that game and Elise Perry was just tonking them, seeing them as big as beach balls.
Who else, right? Who else?
Yeah. But then, testament to the excitement inherent in WBBL that it went down to the final ball. You've got some other stuff to talk about. You've got A-League Men's produced some intriguing results from Match Day 7. Starting off with the Aotearoa Derby? Derby?
Whatever you want to call it.
Turning blue and black with Auckland FC defeating the Wellington Phoenix 3-1.
This was truly a derby that had everything and more. Multiple penalties, a couple of skirmishes, and a penalty save that left the home crowd silent. Thanks to an unrelenting press, Wellington's attack was compressed between the box lines and were unable to launch many plays into the wings, and they were also turning over the ball ad nauseum. Auckland had 22 total shots and 13 on target. Despite Wellington's defense, it couldn't hold forever, and it was a Francis DeVries penalty that broke it open, and Guillermo May destroyed the dam of Wellington's defense. This was a win that Auckland FC really needed after two straight weeks of dropping points.
And Sydney FC go back to the top of the league with a 2-1 victory over the Central Coast Mariners.
As someone who's watched every Sydney FC game so far this season, I've basically come to expect this from Sydney FC and the style of play that they're going for. A couple of close calls in the first half almost had the Sky Blues down 2 at halftime, but the Mariners were trying the crossbar challenge because that thing was getting rattled in the first half. The biggest strength for Sydney this year has been the composure and ball playing of the defense, with a total of 169 passes between the back line, which allowed them to stretch the shape of the Mariners and feed their wingers in Joe Lolly and Al Hassan Toure, the latter of which got himself the equalizer 10 minutes before halftime. And you know what that means when Sydney FC goes into the halftime break tied. They come out with confidence and adjustments. Free-flowing attack led to Victor Campuzano grabbing a header that would seal the 3 points for the Sky Blues.
The equaliser. I remember when Denzel Washington was the equaliser. Brisbane Roar stand away from home, defeating Adelaide United 1-0.
This was nothing short of a statement victory for the surging Brisbane Roar. The surprise package of the season pulled off a late winner a long way from home after a night where it felt like they were seesawing with their opponents all game. Adelaide, despite having the worst end of the total shots, looked threatening in their shape and passing lanes, typified by Yaya Dakouli's splendid rainbow flick, but it just felt like Adelaide's defense drifted too far upfield and too far out wide, too often and too far, leaving them vulnerable to counterattacks, especially against the swift Brisbane attack. Sure enough, after a fizzer of a pass from Dean Bozanis to Chris Long, that allowed the substitute to leave behind two would-be Adelaide defenders and wallop a shot right past Adelaide goalkeeper Josh Schmitz into the top right corner to silence the Adelaide crowd in the 95th minute. The reaction from the Brisbane bench and manager Michael Volcanis said it all after feeling like they should have had an earlier penalty, taking a bit of poetic justice away from their perspective.
Local basketball is on and popping, despite not having the advantage of Ricky Ponting commentating. Plenty of WNBL and NBL games took place over the weekend. What were some of your faves?
The WNBL saw the University of Canberra Capitals defeat the Geelong Venom 76-75 off the back of a clutch Nicole Munger three-pointer in the final seconds. Despite 23 points from Jasmine Shelley, the Venom couldn't quite put it all together when it mattered the most or stretching out their lead further. They made a couple of turnovers, especially at the end where there was 4.1 seconds to go. A good pass to Shelley could have had a clean shot for the Venom, but they just miscommunicated. I wasn't sure what that final moment was. It certainly wasn't how they drew it up.
We've never miscommunicated, so this is foreign territory for you.
Zatina Akuoso and Jade Melbourne were the best of the Capitals with 18 and 16 points respectively. And over in the NBL, Bryce Cotton and the Adelaide 36ers returned to the RAC Arena and turned around a 20-point deficit in 9 minutes to pull off an incredible 95-94 victory. There was plenty of intrigue coming into this game as Bryce Cotton returned to Perth for the first time since leaving in the offseason with an emotional pregame video tribute and appreciative home fans around the arena. Cotton himself had a casual 21 points and 12 assists, double-double by his standards casual, with Isaac Humphries leading all scorers with 28 points.
And of course, there's NFL on this morning. It's Sunday in America right now. NFL action for week 14. You got a game of the week?
Yeah, it's an NFC North matchup that is sure to turn plenty of heads. The 9-3 Chicago Bears are heading up to, as the legendary Chris Berman puts it, the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin, to take on the 8-3-1 Green Bay Packers. This is a game that will decide the leader of the NFC North division. The Bears have made plenty of strides this season behind first-year head coach Ben Johnson and second-year quarterback Caleb Williams, while the Packers, expected to be dominant this year, have been a little shaky at times, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But Lambeau Field is nothing short of a graveyard for the Bears, though. They have one solitary victory in Green Bay in a decade, and that came earlier this year on January 5th. Also, shout out to Michael here at 2SER. He's a longtime Bears fan that is experiencing a season that is manna from heaven for Bears fans the world over.
How did the Green Bay Packers go 8-3-1?
Well, they tied with Dallas earlier in the season.
Do they not have golden point in the NFL?
They do have one 15-minute period of overtime. If nobody scores any points, it's a tie.
Okay. Thank you very much for clarifying, Will.